I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about an article from Frontline Fellowship, and the headline of it is called Agenda Hijacking Civilization. Hijacking Civilization. And this is based on the research of Dr. Peter Hammond, and I read this earlier today, and I realized that what is being talked about in this article is just remarkable, some of the details. Much of it we've talked about here on our program at Noise of Thunder Radio, but I want to go over it because there are specific elements that are being discussed here by Dr. Hammond that I think are very, very powerful about what happened to the Christian world from the time of the Great Reformation right up into the 20th century, and then what changed as a result of World War I, beginning with World War I and then World War II. Those were two, obviously, major events, but what happened then on the other side of World War II, the Christian world was changed dramatically and then began to really decline rapidly after World War II. All right, but before we get to this article, there's a couple of other things I wanted to address. One, I got a question from a listener who asked if I would talk more about the Jesuit missions in Paraguay. This we're going to cover in great detail in the upcoming audio CD on the Jesuits and Marxism. And we'll be talking more about that in the days and weeks ahead. Hopefully we'll have that finished in a few weeks and we'll be able to give you more information on it. But there'll be a lot of details there. I will tell you if you want to go do some research on this, look up the book from the 19th century, The Jesuit Conspiracy, The Secret Plan of the Order by Abate Leone, or Jacopo Leone was his name, and he was the Abbot Leone. And type in, because you can find it online, won't cost you anything to get it. You can read it online. When you pull it up, type into the search engine, type in the word Paraguay when you're reading it online. Type in the word Paraguay, and then you read what the Jesuits had to say about their work in Paraguay and their experiment there. They only mention it briefly. They don't give many details, and if you don't know what they're talking about, you would miss it entirely. But what they're referring to is the fact that they developed communism in the Jesuit reductions in Paraguay. And then, and this is all being discussed in their meeting in Chieri, Italy, back in 1825, but the account, the dialogue, is being published in the 1840s by Leone, because he claims to have overheard it all. Well, when you read what they're talking about there, they then go on from the Paraguay quote to talk about world domination. So I'll give you that as a clue for those who want to investigate it further. But we'll be talking a lot more about that in the upcoming audio CD. Okay, another issue I wanted to address was from our friend Stephen Avery, who posted on our Facebook page, the last show, an update on Codex Sinaiticus, update on Codex Sinaiticus debate. That's what I called the show. And so I gave a review of it and went over a quote from the 19th century having to do with the last 12 verses of Mark and the fact that it's the same scribe who did The New Testament portion of Codex Vaticanus is also the same scribe who is said to have done the editing for the shorter ending of Mark in Codex Sinaiticus. It's the same scribe that worked on both. Now, the comment from Stephen Avery is, he says there are problems with this theory. The most glaring is that the Vaticanus manuscript was known to omit the Mark ending before 1800. Thus, the same scribe theory is difficult to harmonize with mid-1800s tampering of Vaticanus. Now, what he seems to be saying is that the theory that the same person who was working on Codex Vaticanus was also the guy who went in and did this editing on Codex Sinaiticus. He's saying it's difficult to harmonize. I personally, here's why I don't necessarily agree with him. I understand what he's saying. However, I do not believe that the omission of the last 12 verses of Mark in Codex Vaticanus, I don't believe that was done in the 19th century. So if there was tampering with Vaticanus, I don't believe that was the tampering. I agree with Stephen Avery that it was well known that the last 12 verses of Mark were not there even prior to the 19th century. So Vaticanus was the one manuscript that deliberately omitted the last 12 verses of Mark. The question was why? I believe that the omission was engineered, however, in Codex Sinaiticus deliberately to make Sinaiticus match up with Codex Vaticanus. That's what I believe. I think Stephen may be referring to a theory by Dr. David Sorensen, perhaps, and we did pull a quote from his book, but I don't necessarily agree with that theory, if that's the case. I have not yet finished reading or even read the whole book by Dr. Sorensen. So bear that in mind. However, how could the same scribe who worked on Vaticanus, the New Testament portion of Vaticanus, also have been the scribe that made edits to Codex Sinaiticus? How could that be the case if Sinaiticus was produced in the 19th century, which we believe? Well, the interesting feature about Codex Vaticanus that you have to remember is that Vaticanus has been completely overwritten. Completely overwritten. Whatever the original, and some portions of it have been overwritten so many times, according to what's reported, that paleographical analysis, they say, is virtually impossible in certain portions. So it was originally created somewhere, but then it's been overwritten. How it's been overwritten is, to me, somewhat of a mystery. Was it overwritten just to darken the letters that were there? Did somebody scratch away portions of it and then write over it? I mean, all of those are questions that would need to be investigated. However, the official story with Vaticanus is that it was completely overwritten in the 15th century by a 15th century scribe. That is according to Dr. Scott McKendrick at the British Library. That's a quote from Dr. McKendrick. Now, was the overwriting all done in the 15th century, as they say? Or was that overwriting, a lot of it, done by Cardinal Mai and possibly calligraphers in the Vatican working with him in the 19th century? And they simply said, oh, no, this happened back in the 15th century or whatever, when in fact that's not the case. That's a speculation. And if Vaticanus was tampered with, that's how I believe it was tampered with. And if we had more time, I'd go into all of that. In fact, I probably need to do another show talking all about this because there are multiple reasons to believe what I'm saying, not the least of which is that when Samuel P. Tregellis was at the Vatican and he saw Codex Vaticanus, they would not allow him, he said, to look too closely at any single page. Every time he looked too long at a single page, they came and grabbed the manuscript away from him. That's what he said. Now, why did they not want him to look too closely at it? Perhaps because he might have noticed that the ink was still drying in certain portions of it. That is part of my speculation. So I believe that quite possibly and quite probably, especially if you study the history of Vaticanus, and every time anybody tried to do a collation of it, anytime anybody tried to document it or organize it or anything like that, they always said the same thing. Oh, it was a very poor job that was done, et cetera. So everybody always did a poor job on it until it gets to Tischendorf. Then you have the 365 variant readings that were mentioned by Sepulveda to Desiderius Erasmus. Some people say that he sent those readings to Erasmus. And yet while there's a record of the 365 readings that Sepulveda referenced them, yet nobody knows what those readings are. Nobody knows what those readings are because they've been lost, apparently, or misplaced. Well, wait a minute. The Vatican keeps everything. They keep everything. How do they misplace these 365 readings? That just doesn't make any sense. Then Vaticanus is published now to the world in the 19th century, and what do all the scholars say? They say, oh, well, it's very different than what we thought. It's very different. Why is it very different? Well, possibly because it had been changed over the 30-year period that Cardinal Mai was working on it. That may be why it was so different from what everybody thought. Everybody had thought it was a Latinized Greek text, and it had been dismissed by Erasmus as a forgery, a corruption, whatever. And people thought it was a Latinized Greek text. Now it shows up and they say, oh no, it's this Alexandrian text as part of a family, etc. Now they match it up with Codex Sinaiticus. So it was very different from what people thought prior to the 19th century. How did it get to be different? Is it possible, and I think it is very possible, that Cardinal Mai and possibly calligraphers working with him did the overwriting of it, and when they did the overwriting, they made certain changes. But I don't believe the last 12 verses of Mark omitting those verses. I don't believe that that was one of the changes that they made, just so we understand. I think the omission of the last 12 verses in Vaticanus was already there, but I think they did deliberately remove those verses from Codex Sinaiticus so that they could make it match with the Vatican manuscript. That's my general theory. Okay, let us move on now to this article by Dr. Peter Hammond called Agenda Hijacking Civilization. Now, Dr. Hammond shares our view that civilization, what we call civilization and the free world, was in fact established by Christianity as a result of the Great Protestant Reformation. This is what led to the great reforms, moral reforms, well, first theological reforms through Luther and the reformers of that time, and then the widespread publication of the Bible, and then this led to political and moral reforms as well. And I believe, of course, that this is what we find in Sam Adams' speech that he gave after he signed the Declaration of Independence, where he said that our forefathers cast off popery in the church. He says it now remains for us to level popery in politics. He's talking about church and now the state. That was the understanding of history. And this is part of what Dr. Hammond talks about in his article. He does not mention that quote, but I think what he's saying amounts to the same thing. All right, we are coming up on a commercial break. Let's go to our commercial break, and we're going to talk more about this article, Agenda Hijacking Civilization, right after this.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part 3 in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today: the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America. Our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. Today, we're talking about this article on hijacking civilization. Now, it starts out, I just want to read the opening line. It says, quote, globalists have used wars, economic depressions, recessions, and population control to undermine Western civilization and bring about their new world order. The Islamic invasion, Trojan horse, mass migration into Europe, and escalating riots and terrorism represent an advanced stage of this anti-Christian agenda. Now, what I really like about Dr. Hammond's perspective on all of this is he recognizes, brethren, this is an anti-Christian agenda. That's specifically what it is. This is the forces of Antichrist coming against Christian civilization. No question about it. For those who have not seen our film, if you want to see a film that will show this to you biblically and then in history, if you haven't seen Megiddo, The March to Armageddon, Bible Prophecy and the New World Order, which was the first documentary that we released years ago, many of you have seen it. But if you haven't seen that, it's worth watching, even though it's our first film. We're using 3D animation and things like that. But there's some very powerful information. You get the outline of prophecy on the one hand, but then you get a lot of detailed information about the globalist movement and all of these different quotes from history, from famous figures who have been promoting globalism throughout the 20th century, now into the 21st century. And you see that this is a movement that's been going on for decades. And there's been this driving ambition to create this one world system. And the reason they say that we have to do it is because if we don't have a one world order, then the world is going to blow itself up with nuclear bombs. So the idea of this nuclear threat as the driving reason, this is the number one reason that they gave throughout the 20th century, that man will destroy himself if he doesn't come together and have a one world government. Well, the problem with that whole thinking, biblically speaking, is, of course, that Jesus says it's not going to happen. He says, except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, God has shortened the days. In other words, God is going to intervene. God is not going to allow all flesh to be destroyed on the earth. That's not going to happen. Now, that does not mean there could not be some kind of nuclear exchange that would be devastating. We all agree. Doesn't mean that at all. It does, however, mean the promise we have in the scripture is that no, mankind is not going to completely annihilate himself and the earth. God is not going to permit that to happen. All right, now this next point made by Dr. Hammond, he says, demographic engineering. He says, quote, through aggressive population control tactics promoting birth control, abortion, sterilizations, and massive propaganda of overpopulation. One of the things we talked about in the Georgia Guidestones documentary, Dark Clouds Over Elberton, is the, you know, the number one concern at the for R.C. Christian building the Georgia Guidestones was population control, that the earth is being overcrowded, etc. Now, of course, anybody who's done studies on this knows full well the overpopulation scare is nonsense. It's complete nonsense. What they do is they go into crowded cities where you have a bunch of people jammed into one small city. And they show this film and video footage of this kind of thing, and they give you the impression that, well, the whole world now is overpopulated. No, what's happened is you've just got too many people jammed into one city, too many people that all want to live in the same place. The thing to do is to go out and build more cities in these undeveloped parts of the earth, and there are many of them. It's said that more than 90% of Alaska, just as an example, just one example, 90% of Alaska is uninhabited and undeveloped. One of the states in our union. Go online right here in America and type in land for sale in America. And you can go in all the states of the union and you will just find thousands and thousands of acres of land for sale. Empty, undeveloped land. Even though we've got 320 million or so people in the country right now. There's still lots and lots of land available on the earth. So the overpopulation thing, they spent years talking about overpopulation while at the same time promoting birth control and abortion and all this other kind of stuff. And so Dr. Hammond says, quote, massive propaganda of overpopulation. The globalists have dramatically brought down the population of Europeans and Americans. Then, by betraying stable governments in Africa, Asia, and South America, and bringing about economic collapse, a vast movement of refugee populations has been stimulated into Europe, North America, and South Africa. By dramatically decreasing populations of those countries traditionally Christian, and exploding the populations of those who are pagan and anti-Christian, the goal is a dramatic change in the demographics and the death of Christian civilization. Now, what he's saying here, when I read this, I just thought it was powerful. Very, very powerful, because for years we've heard the globalists and the liberals talking about population control. There's too many people and overpopulation this and on and on and on. Now in Europe, they're telling the people of Europe, we have to bring in millions of Muslims because our population is in decline. After they spent years telling them not to have so many kids, have abortions, use birth control, etc., etc., now they're saying the population's in decline, that's the problem. And what's the solution? Well, they need to bring in millions and millions of Muslims to help stimulate the population. That's one of the arguments that they're making. I mean, with the whole global warming thing, this is why it's so important to recognize that 20 years ago, the same people who are today warning about global warming, 20 years ago, they were warning about global cooling. Now they've flipped it around. They've got a completely different argument. It's one of many reasons why we should not listen to any of this nonsense, because what they do is they don't just say, well, we're concerned that the planet's going to, you know, suffer from global warming. They don't just say that. It always comes in with a political agenda that means more power and control for these left-wing organizations. Now, we're not going to have time to go through all of this, but I wanted to talk about this aspect. He has a section here called Retreat from Victory. Talks about how Protestantism, really Bible-based Christianity, was going forward all the way up through the early part of the 20th century. I mean, you think about what a great victory it was for Christianity in England and America to abolish slavery, to get rid of slavery, and to begin to influence the rest of the world to do the same. That was a powerful victory for Christianity. It's not seen that way, but it should be. This was real progress. Dr. Hammond says, quote, "At the First World Missions Conference in Edinburgh in 1910, delegates were anticipating the completion of the Great Commission within their generation to preach the gospel to every creature." He says, quote, "No one in 1910 would have anticipated the wholesale abandonment of entire nations to communism, false religions, and heathenism. Nor would anyone have predicted that the church would retreat from victory to such an extent that they would be questioning the existence of the devil or hell or redefining marriage to include what God in the Bible describes as perversion and an abomination." So he basically talks about how far Christian civilization has fallen over the last 100+ years from 1910 to the present day. And why one of the core reasons, I believe the core reason, brethren, is the systematic subversion of the Bible through the critical text, through these critical text theories that basically teach people that the Bible is not the inspired, inerrant Word of God. That's at the heart of it, I believe. The Scripture is the very foundation of our faith, and the Bible says if the foundations be removed, what can the righteous do? What can the righteous do? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and the Word of God, brethren, is alive and powerful, but we have to believe it. The church has to believe it. Christian people have to believe that the Bible is the Word of God. All right, brethren, that is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.